أنا الحمد لله والسلام. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. This is another lesson that we have in reading from the explanation of Al-Usul al-Thalatha by Sheikh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make it of benefit for us, even Allah Ta'ala. The last lesson that we had, we left off on the fact that the author, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, in this explanation, as you know, is the explanation of Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan and Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala. But in the last lessons that we had before the month of Ramadan, and now we're in the month of Shawwal, the exact 10th, the 19th day, which is in accordance with the 26th of August. But before the month of Ramadan, we had read up into what the author had mentioned, the author Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahim Allah Ta'ala had mentioned the Surah Al-Asr, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and he mentions Surah Al-Asr as a dalil for the knowledge, as a dalil for the knowledge, or for the knowledge and for the belief. That's what he mentions, the knowledge, the belief, the actions, the calling, and the calling to that knowledge and calling to that belief, and the patience. So what is the proof that it is incumbent upon the individual to have knowledge, and that knowledge leads to belief, and then to act upon it, and then to call to it, and then to be patient? There's a statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by time, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He can swear by anything from His creation. Allah swears by time that mankind is astray in destruction, except those individuals who have four characteristics. Because of that, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned, فَجَمِيعُ بَنِي آدَمَ فِي خَسَارَ وَالْحَلَاكِ إِلَّا مِنْ اتَّسَفَ بِأَرْبَعِ صِفَاتِ. So all of mankind, all of the children of Adam, are in destruction, except those who obtain and those who implement four characteristics, and they are al-ilmu wal-amalu wal-da'watu ilallahi wal-sabru al-al-adha. Is knowledge, is acting, actions, calling to Allah, and patience, and being patient. فَمَنْ اتَّسَفَ بِهَذِهِ صِفَاتِ الْأَرْبَعَ نَجَى مِنْ هَذِهِ الْخَسَارَةِ. So whoever actualizes these four characteristics, he will be saved from this destruction. Then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala goes on to mention, and in that regard, I can't recall if we mentioned the statements of some of the Salaf, amongst them the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, he said, لا ينال الهدى إلا بالعلم ولا ينال الرشاد إلا بالصبر. That an individual would not attain guidance except with knowledge, and an individual would not attain direction except with patience. An individual will not attain guidance except with knowledge, by way of knowledge, and an individual will not be attain guidance except with patience. And it was also mentioned by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, لا تغبطوا أحدا لم يسبه في هذا الأمر بلاء. It's mentioned by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, do not envy anyone who has not been afflicted in this affair. Because the affair of being, patient is because the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah Azza wa Jal loves a people, He will test them. And likewise, the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Most of the individuals who have the most trials and tribulations are the prophets and the messengers. So the statement of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala is a statement of haqq. And you should not envy anyone if he is not tested, because the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the sunnah of Allah, is He tests the people. The statement of Allah, for example, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَلَقَدْ قُدِّدَتْ رُسُلٌ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا قُدِّدُوا وَأُوبُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, verily the prophets before you, yani before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were tested, or afwan, they were called liars. The prophets who came before you, they were called liars, and they were patient with that which they were being afflicted with, and they were harmed until our victory came to them. So the way of Allah Azza wa Jal is He tests His prophets and the messengers, and those are the individuals who are most beloved to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the case of the believer? Then we find the ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, when they explain this book, and we find basically this explanation in all of the explanations of al-usul al-thalatha, the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, the explanation of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. So you can refer back to it when they put sabr into three categories. Sabr upon obedience to Allah, it's one. Second, sabr upon disobedience to Allah, it's two. And the third is sabr upon the decree of Allah. Sabr upon the decree of Allah. And these are, and if you were to go throughout the Quran and identify the verses related to sabr, you would find that they fall under one of these categories. You would find that they fall under one of these categories. And likewise, when the shaitan approaches an individual and encourages and influences an individual to become impatient, he addresses or he attacks an individual in one of these categories. For example, the category of being patient upon obedience to Allah. So this individual, when A'udhu Billah, he comes to you and he says, this action is too difficult. This action is a burden upon me. And the reality is, that's why you have individuals when A'udhu Billah falling off of the Islam left and right, is because they have not been patient with the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, the next one, patience upon disobedience. He comes to the individual and he encourages an individual to be disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to perform that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ أَبْقَى. And indeed, the hereafter is better and everlasting. And just كَنْ مِثَال, individuals who've been afflicted with looking at that which is haram. Individuals who have been afflicted with looking at that which is haram. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, say to the believing men to lower their gaze and protect their privates. So the individuals afflicted with looking at that which is haram. The shaitan wants you to forget that in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that which is more beautiful. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that which is pure. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that which is everlasting. So the individual looks at that which is haram. He harms himself. he harms his soul, and he puts himself in jeopardy for being forbidden from that which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the believers in Jannah. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذِنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا قَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Yani the individual puts himself in jeopardy for obtaining that which is in Jannah, that which no eye has seen, nor any ear has heard, nor anyone could imagine. You know, so this is the reality, and because of that, Allah Ta'ala mentions Jannah throughout his book, so the believer can think about it, the believer can reflect over it, and the believer can turn away from the sins, knowing that these sins and the minor pleasure that an individual can obtain because of these sins is nothing compared to that which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the believers in Jannah. And because of that, you had the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, where he says, "Man lam yatruk al-laddat, fatatuhu al-laddat." Statement of Shaykh al-Islam, if I'm not mistaken, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he says, "Whoever does not leave alone the pleasure, he would be denied the pleasure. He would be denied the pleasure, the true pleasure." Now, and then the sabr ala al-aqdarillah, to be patient with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And now, the aqdarillah, that which Allah Ta'ala decrees of calamities, the person has to be patient. That explanations of then. And Imam Rahimahullah Ta'ala also went on to mention a statement of Imam al-Shafi, and he's Imam Muhammad bin Ibn Idris al-Shafi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, one of the great four Imams of Islam who died 204 Hijri. And Imam al-Shafi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, said, "Lo ma anzalallahu hujjatan ala khalqihi illa hadihi surah falakafathum." If Allah did not send down a proof upon His creation except this surah, it would have sufficed them. And the ulama mentioned, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that indeed, because in this surah, Allah Ta'ala is informing you what would happen to the people if they do not implement certain characteristics. If they do not implement four characteristics: knowledge, action, calling one another to good, and patience. So Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, "فالقرآن كله والسنة هما تفاصيل لهذه المفاعل الأربع." Surah Al-Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala, he said, so the Qur'an, all of it, and the Sunnah, it is clarification of these four issues: knowledge, action, propagation, and patience. So the Qur'an, all of it, and the Sunnah, all of it, is clarification of these four issues. And then he says, وَلَيْسَ مَعْنَا كَلَامُ الشَّافِعِي أن هذه سورة تكفي الناس لو ما أنزل الله غيرها لكنها أقامت الحجة عليهم. He said that it doesn't mean, or the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala doesn't mean that this surah is sufficient for the people. They know how to worship Allah, they know how to pray, they know how to fast. No, it doesn't mean that. But what is meant by the statement is that the people, the proof is established against the people. This is what you should be focusing on in your life: knowledge, action, propagation, and being patient. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned in Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, he said, "Al-kamal an yakuna al-shakhs kamilan fi nafsihi mukammilan li ghayrihi. Fahadihi sura ala ikhtisariha hiya min ajma'i sura al-Qur'an li khayri hadhi, na'am, li khayri bi hadhi بِحَوَافِرِهِ نَعْمْ. Ibn Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the true perfection is that an individual seeks perfection in himself, and he seeks to perfect, he seeks to complete others. And because of that, this, although this surah is very summarized and small, it is from the most concise surahs of the Qur'an, because it gathers all forms of good. Because it gathers all forms of good. And it was mentioned by Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "هذه السورة ميزان للأعمال." This surah is the type of verse, or is the type of chapter of the Quran, which an individual can, they can gauge, or they can measure their actions. يزن المؤمن بها نفسه فيبين له بها ربحه من خسرانه. The believer should you know, judge himself by way of this surah, so he knows whether he is benefiting or he is destroyed. And he argued from amongst those, the statement of Ibn al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, who is a student of Ibn al-Qayyim, are you from amongst those? Yani, this is the type of surah that you can judge yourself. Are you from amongst those who, first and foremost, has attained knowledge? You believe, strong belief with its conditions. And are you from amongst those, and the conditions can be read in this explanation of Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, the conditions for belief. So are you from amongst those who have implemented those conditions of belief? And do you do righteous deeds? Do you do righteous deeds? And likewise, belief and doing righteous deeds, do you call to this belief? Do you call to this belief? قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. At the end of Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, this is my way, I call to Allah. عَلَى بَصِيرًا, upon knowledge. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِ, I call to Allah and those who follow me. So the way of the believer is that we call to Islam. The way of the believer is that we call to Islam. So judge yourself. The statement of Ibn al-Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, very powerful statement. Judge yourself based on this surah. Belief, righteous actions, propagation, and patience. And the reality is, you know, the reality is there's not an individual who falls off. There's not an individual who becomes weak, except that he or she has been deficient in one of these four aspects. Except that he or she has been deficient in one of these four aspects, and Allah is testing them now because of that. We are not the type of people, yani, going back to the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, أن يكون الشخص كاملا مكملا لغيره. That the individual, he seeks perfection, he seeks to improve his worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he also helps others, seeks to improve others. So we're not like the Jews, individuals that feel that they are saved than everyone else. قالوا نحن أبناء الله وأحباء. They said in the Quran, Allah said their statement. They said, we are the sons of Allah, and we are the ones who He loves. And this is the statement of the Jews. To say we are saved and everyone else is destroyed. We are saved and everyone else is destroyed. And we're comfortable with that. No, that's not the way of the believer. The way of the believer is that we call others to Islam, that we invite others to this wonderful religion. And that was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this statement of Ibn al-Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala and the statement of his teacher Ibn al-Qayyim is tremendous statements. Then we go on to the statement of Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, بَابُ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. The chapter of knowledge precedes statements and actions. وَالْدَلِيلُ فَعَلَمْ. The dalil from Surah Muhammad, the 19th verse, know that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So Allah Azza wa Jal began with knowledge before statements and actions. And this is not just the understanding of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, no. And know this fa'idah. Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, from Imam Ka'fi, who died 204, and he brought a statement of Imam al-Bukhari, who died 256. And these two scholars have are loved tremendously by the believers. So it's not like Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab brought a statement from himself. No, but he attached it. He attached the understanding to the Salaf. He attached an understanding to the Salaf. And in general, there weren't Muslims. In general, there aren't Muslims that don't know Imam al-Shafi, one of the great scholars. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam al-Shafi, Imam Ahmed, Imam Malik. These are the great scholars of Islam. So many of the people know them. So I've attached this understanding to an Imam in Islam. And so he's an Imam of a madhab. Most of the people know him. So he's attached this understanding to the statement of Imam Shafi. And likewise, he's attached this understanding to the statement of Imam al-Bukhari, which the Ummah al-Islamiyah, the Islamic Ummah, are in agreement that Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic book after the Book of Allah, Azza wa Jal. So by doing so, he's allowing the reader to realize that this is not his understanding, but this was the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. Na'am. And with regard to the statements, you have nothing in the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, also in Miftah Adar al-Sahada. He said, al-ilmu amam al-amal. He said, knowledge is in front of actions. وَقَاعِدٌ لَهُ. And knowledge leads to action. وَالْعَمَلُ تَابِعٌ لَهُ وَمُعْتَمْ بِهِ. He said, and the action follows the knowledge. فَكُلُّ عَمَلٍ لَا يَكُونُ خَلْفَ الْعِلْمِ فَكُلُّ عَمَلٍ لَا يَكُونَ أَوْ لَا يَكُونُ خَلْفَ الْعَمَلِ الْعِلْمِ مُقْتَدِيًا بِهِ فَهُوَ غَيْرُ نَافِعٍ لِصَاحِبِهِ بَلْ مُضِرَّةٌ عَلَيْهِ. He said, so every action which is not preceded by knowledge, so every action which is مُقْتَدِيًا بِهِ, so every action which is not preceded by knowledge, it is not beneficial for the individual. In fact, it is harmful for the individual. In fact, it is harmful for the individual. كما قال بعض السلف. Ibn Qayyim said, like some of the salaf said, من عبد الله بغير علم كان ما يفسد أكثر مما يصلح. Whoever worships Allah without knowledge, that which he brings about is more destructive than that which he brings about of harm is more and greater than that which he brings about of good. And that reminds me of the statement of the ulama. You can find this when they mention in their books of fatawa. When they mention in their books of fatawa, if an individual is asked something and he answers without knowledge, you can find this in the fatawa of the ulama. If an individual is asked something and he answers without knowledge, but the answer is correct, does he receive a sin? They say, yes, he receives a sin. They say he receives a sin because he answered without knowledge, even if the answer was correct. Because he answered without what? He answered without knowledge. So that shows the khutura, it shows you the danger of acting and teaching and the likes without knowledge. Now, moving on, then Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala goes on to mention another part of his work, of his treatise, where he says, I'lam rahimakallah. May Allah have mercy upon you. And this shows you the great concern and compassion Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has for the student of knowledge. And Sheikh Salaf Fawzan said in that regard, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا كَمَا سَبَقَ فِي أَنَّ الْمُعَلَّمِ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَلَقَّفْ مَعَ الْمُتَعَلَّمِ. This shows you, as has proceeded, is befitting upon the teacher to be gentle with the one who is teaching. وَأَنْ يَدْعُوا لَهُ وَيُرَبِّبْهُ. He should supplicate for him and he should encourage him. فَإِنَّ هَذَا مَنْ أَعْظَمْ وَسَأَلِ التَّعْلِيمِ. So this, because this is the most, one of the most tremendous means of teaching, and most, you know, the one of the important methodologies of teaching. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُقَابَلَ الْمُتَعَلِّمِ بِالْقِسْوَةِ وَالشِّدَّةِ وَالْغِلْظَةِ. It is not befitting that he approaches the student with staunchness, with roughness, with harshness. You should not do it. لَأَنَّ هَذَا يُنَفِّرْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Because this would make the individual run from knowledge. Now, then Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala says, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ تَعَلَّمُوا ثَلَاثِ هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلِ وَالْعَمُلُ بِهِنْ. Notice he said, it is incumbent upon every Muslim man and every Muslim woman to learn And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he goes in to explain, to learn. And, you know, and he mentions Habib Allah Ta'ala, التلقي عن العلماء والفهم والإدراك. And التعلم, the meaning of learn, you learn from the scholars, that you memorize, that you understand, and you have clear insight. That you, التلقي عن العلماء, that you learn from the scholars, if you have the ability to do so. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Nowadays, the means of technology are increasing, but the desire to learn and to study and to follow the lessons which are broadcasted live, the desire is less. The desire is less. And that's something that we really have to shed some light on. That Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, or let's start with the Sahaba. The Sahaba, rahimahullah ta'ala, during the Hurub al-Ridda, during the wars of the people who were apostates, when they came together and they gathered the Qur'an, Abu Bakr first, saying, let's gather this Qur'an, let's put it into one book. So the Sahaba came together day and night, Zayd bin Thabit, they brought Zayd bin Thabit. You read the Qur'an with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at these different, you know, writings of the Qur'an. It was being written on bark of trees. It was being written on the skin of animals. It was being written on different things, gathered in front of Zayd bin Thabit, and said, you read the Qur'an. You were one of the individuals that read the Qur'an with the Prophet. Now review this to make sure this is what you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came together day and night to preserve the Qur'an. And then later on, during the rulership of Uthman bin Affan, once again, they did another gathering of the Qur'an because the people were disagreeing. The Sahaba, they took out their time, they took out their energy, day and night to preserve something, to gather something that would be preserved for the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then later on, you know, with Umar ibn Abdulaziz, who was the great grandson of Umar ibn Khattab, who died at the age of 37 or 38, if I'm not mistaken, 39, died at the age of 39 when he came together and he got the ulama of his time. He got the ulama of his time and he told them to write down the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perchance it might be lost. And then later on you had the likes of Imam al-Bukhari, the likes of Imam Muslims, without computers, without internet, without Google search, these individuals sitting down and writing the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and traveling hundreds of miles. Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi traveling hundreds of miles to gather the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to write them under the light of the moon or under the moonlight or under the light of a lantern, an oil lantern, page after page, sharpening their pencils. They didn't have any of these luxuries that we have today. Later on, the likes of Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and writing Ar-Radd al-Jahmiyyah and writing As-Sunnah by him, by his son, the ulama of the Salaf, writing the books of Aqidah, without internet, without Wi-Fi, without smartphones, without Android, without any of this, and these ulama sitting down to take from their time under moonlight and under the light of a lantern to write down that which we need, that which the later generations or the latter generations would need to practice, the later generations would need to practice this religion. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla, knowing that knowledge is going to be listed, yani us knowing that knowledge is going to be listed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed that the ulama are in Medina, the ulama are in Riyadh, the ulama are in Jizan, the ulama are in other places, and the durus are being broadcasted live. But we can't find it in ourselves to sit down and to benefit. If the Salaf al-Saleh had taken the religion in this lackadaisical mentality that we take the knowledge today, the knowledge of Aqidah, the knowledge of Minhaj, the knowledge of Hadith, the knowledge of Jahwa Ta'dir, if they had taken on the mentality that we take today, where would the religion be today? And likewise, if we take on that mentality and we don't catch ourselves and rectify ourselves, where will the religion be for our children? Indeed, the tricks of the shaitan are many. So Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala goes on to say, now, so it's all about that. He mentioned, so knowledge is that you benefit from the scholars, is that you memorize, is that you understand, you have insight. هذا هو التعلم. This is the knowledge. ليس المراد مجرد قراءة. It's not that just you read. He said, هذا ليس تعلما. This is not knowledge that you just are a reader. Knowledge is that you take the knowledge from its people. Now, and I've mentioned, you know, some of what he said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ التَّتَنْمُذْ عَلَى الْكُتُبِ كَمَا هُوَ الْوَاقَ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ. He said, it's not permissible that a person just becomes a knowledge or a student of the books as you find present today. It's not sufficient that a person just becomes a student of the books. And I've mentioned his speech in the past, so I won't go into it in detail, but we've mentioned it in the past. Now, so Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that it's incumbent that we learn these three issues and that we act upon them. That we learn them and that we act upon them. And this is something important because we find, unfortunately, and I speak about myself first, that many of us have taken the first janib of what has been mentioned by the ulama, the likes of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and we forgot about the second janib. For example, when Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala spoke about knowledge, propagation, and patience. Many of us, we take the knowledge and the action, but we forget about the propagation and the patience. Or we take the knowledge, the action, and the propagation, but we forget about the patience. So we find when people don't listen to us, when people don't accept it from us, when people are not willing to sit in a gathering, that we leave it off. So you find an individual, at one time was a teacher, memorizing, teaching, and the likes of that. Now he's no longer doing it. Why? Well, because the people are not coming. So that's a condition? Is that a condition? That's something that we have to reflect on. And Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, once again, he's doing that. And in the beginning, he said, knowledge, action, propagation, patience. Here again, he said, knowledge and action. Now, so he said, it's incumbent upon us to learn and to act upon it. The first, al-imanu bi anna Allaha al-ula anna Allaha khalaqana wa razaqana wa lam yatrukna hamla. Allah Azza wa Jalla created us and He provided for us. This is ar-rububiyyah. This is ar-rububiyyah. He's establishing ar-rububiyyah. And the rububiyyah is not the reason why the prophets and the messengers were sent. To establish the lordship of Allah was not the reason why the prophets and the messengers were sent. Because when I asked them who created the heavens and earth, if you were to ask them who created the heavens and earth, they would say Allah. So throughout the Quran, we find that Allah informed us that the people had the rububiyyah, but they did not have the rububiyyah that led them to that which was incumbent upon them, which was the uluhiyyah. And that's why Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, and before Afwan, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the rububiyyah to inform you that if you truly have this rububiyyah, this should lead you to and guide you to al-uluhiyyah. It should guide you to al-uluhiyyah, which is to worship Allah alone. And that's what Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab is going to lead us to. So notice, he said, it's incumbent upon every Muslim man and Muslim female to learn three issues. The first is that Allah created us and provided for us. You believe this, you understand this. Allah created us and He provided for us. He did not leave us alone. And Shaykh Salih Fulton, Habibullah Ta'ala, mentions many surahs from the Quran in that regard. مثلاً in Surah Al-Insan, the first ayah, أَتَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّفْعِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has it not come to the people a time when they were nothing? They were nothing. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Tur, 35th verse, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing or did they create themselves? Al-Jubayr bin Mut'am, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in his hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, He said, I was a disbeliever, but when I heard this verse, my heart almost flew out of my chest. My heart almost flew. Were you created from nothing or did you create yourself? Answer that question. Reflection. Contemplation. He said, my heart almost flew. كاد قلبي يطير. My heart almost flew. He was a disbeliever. He was a disbeliever. Were you created from nothing or did you create yourselves? Now, in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, أَفَحَسْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you believe that we created you out of jest and you will not return to us? The statement of Allah in Surah Al-Mu'minun, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُودَ أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِيٍّ يُمْنَى ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qiyamah, did the person think that he would be left to play out of jest? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how the individual was created and then how Allah created the individual from the sperm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sa'd, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا. We have not created the heavens and the earth and that which is between out of jest. And other statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the individual of the rububiyyah, Allah created you. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجَنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn or mankind except to worship. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْكٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I want no wealth from them, nor do I want them to feed me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. Allah is the provider. So Allah is establishing the rububiyyah only for the rububiyyah, no, but to lead you to the uluhiyyah. So if you believe that Allah is the only one to create, to provide, and the likes, then it is He who you should worship alone. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. But in fact, Allah Azza wa Jal has sent prophets. Allah has sent prophets. And the last prophet, or Allah sent a prophet. And the last prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هو محمد خاتم النبيين أرسله ليبين لنا لماذا خلقنا. شيخ صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom Allah, or the seal of the prophets, Allah sent him to clarify to us why we have been created. Not that we have been created by Allah, but the purpose of the creation. The purpose of the creation. And this is the ni'mah of Allah, to send prophets and messengers. To send prophets, and we would have not known how to worship Allah, specifically how to worship Allah, except that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent prophets and messengers. And because of that, you have many places in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds the believers of the purpose of sending the prophets and the messengers. مبشرين ومنذرين. We have sent them as giver of glad tidings and warners. مثلاً in Surah An-Nisa, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَهُمْ لَأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ مِنْ بَعْدِ الرُّسُلِ. We have sent the prophets as giver of glad tidings and warners so that the people will not have a proof against Allah after the sending of the prophets and the messengers. So this is, and throughout the Quran, the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he's going to mention of those proofs. So Shaykh Salaf Wazan said, بَيِّنْ لَنَا كَيْفَ نَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَزِّ وَجَلَّ وَيَنْهَانَ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَالْمَعَاصِي هَذِهِ مُحَمَّدُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So he clarifies for us how to worship Allah. He clarifies us, or he warns us of shirk and kufr, disbelief and sins. And then Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab says, فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Allah created us, He provided for us, He did not leave us to do whatever we want, but Allah sent prophets and messengers to us. Whoever the prophet will enter paradise, whoever disobeys him will enter into the hell. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, the 80th verse, مَنْ يُتِعِ الرَّسُولَ قَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger, he has obeyed Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, likewise, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We have not sent a prophet except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. is that you obey Allah and His Messenger inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. And reality is who is going to regret not obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many verses throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to obey His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَيَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ يَدَيْهِ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا in Surah Al-Furqan. The day the person would bite his hands, he would bite on his hand, and he would say, I wish that I would have taken a path. I wish that I would have obeyed that messenger. I wish that I would have obeyed that messenger. And you have many, many verses in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala orders the believers to obey وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. Whoever disobeys the messenger after the guidance has been made clear to him. So this is throughout the Quran. This is throughout the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions obedience to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Ha mentions the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Muzammil, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا فَحَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا. Statement of Allah in Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah mentions, verily we sent a messenger to you as a witness over you, just as we sent a messenger to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger. And this is the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was sent to Fir'aun to call Fir'aun, and he disobeyed Fir'aun. And Allah gave him a painful or a tremendous painful torment. And Sheikh Sadr Fawzan mentioned that these are uqubat karas. These are three punishments that the people of Fir'aun and Fir'aun would receive. The ula anna Allah aghraqahum. Allah drowned them, destroyed them in one moment. And the second, أَنَّهُمْ يُعَذَّبُونَ فِي الْبَرْزَقِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ, that they will be punished in their graves until the day of judgment. And he takes that from the statement of Allah in Surah Ghafir, and يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا. The fire will be brought to them the daytime and at night. So the people of Fir'aun, they will be punished like no other people. And الثالثة, the third, أنهم إذا بعثوا يوم القيامة يدخلون أشد العذاب. On the day of judgment, they will receive the most painful. They will receive the most painful of punishment. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah mentioned, وأنتم أولى بالحلاك والدمار إن كذبتم رسولكم لأن رسولكم أشرف وأعظم من موسى ابن عمران. Ibn Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, so the people of Muhammad, the Ummah of Muhammad, anyone after the time of Muhammad until Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will receive more punishment if you disbelieve or disobey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will receive more. Because the Prophet Muhammad is a greater prophet than Musa. Because the Prophet Muhammad is a greater prophet than Musa. Sheikh Sadr Fawzan says, وَكَنَا عَسَى مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مَعَالَهُ أَشَدْ مِنْ مَعَالِ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ مَنْ مُحَمَّدًا هُوَ أَفْضَلُ الرُّسُولِ فَمَنْ عَصَاهُ تَكُونُ عَقُوبَتُهُ أَشَدْ. Sadr Fawzan says, that which is in support of the statement of Ibn Kathir, and it shows the understanding, Sheikh Sadr Fawzan's understanding, he says, and everyone who disobeys Muhammad, then his destination would be more severe, would be more severe than the followers of Fir'aun, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a greater prophet than the Prophet Musa. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a greater prophet. So whoever disobeys him, his punishment would be more tremendous. His punishment would be more tremendous. On that point, we will stop. And inshallah ta'ala, beginning in last week, we will continue with the second issue. And the second issue, because notice Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab said three issues. The first is that Allah created us, provided for us, and did not leave us alone. But He sent prophets and messengers. Whoever obeys that, He sent our prophet. Whoever obeys that prophet, he went into Jannah. Whoever disobeys him, he went into Jahannam. The second issue is that Allah is not pleased that partners are set up with him. Allah is not pleased that partners are set up with him. This is the second issue that we will take next week, بإذن الله تعالى. Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.